Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
Our Father, we're desirous tonight that we might have your special presence and that you would take our praises and our singing, that you would take our minds and our hearts as we look at this precious scripture this evening, how that we might apply the breastplate of righteousness so that we might have experienced the life that is for us in spite of the warfare, that we might have joy and that we might have a life that is fruitful, and that you would give us, Lord, your understanding how to put on this breastplate of righteousness, which is because of the work of our Lord Jesus. And so we ask for your presence and blessing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Now this last hymn, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, it's number 427. It's the second tune, 427.
Cover me.
especially, you know, you get so involved in things, you forget to do things. Well, wait till you get my age. Anyway, it has to do with putting on the breastplate of righteousness. What does that mean? How does that figure in for spiritual protection? Well, that's what we want to look at. Verses 10 through 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. This is the Word of God. Now, as we look at verse 14, the last part, I want us to consider what is to be protected, what does righteousness mean, and how does it protect us? If we're in a spiritual battle, how important is it? It's very important. And we need to see that it's to be victorious in this life, we have to have this breastplate of righteousness, which is spiritual. This has to do with sanctification and not salvation. And there's a big difference. That we become more like our Lord Jesus Christ. How? Well, he was victorious. Yes. And you can be victorious, or we can. Well, I'm interested. And so we get on this, we put on the belt of truth. That's very important. And I mentioned to you about how that the soldiers wore tunics and they would pull up the four corners up under the belt with the hole for the head and the holes for the arms. So they could, you can just imagine if they didn't have a belt on, how that the tunic would fly all over their place. But also it was necessary to hold the sword, and also just a small sword, and also to hold up the breastplate of righteousness. So not very comfortable to wear physically if you look at the Roman soldier, very heavy. It was a real protector. You see, it would cover from the base of one's neck all the way down and the abdomen area. That's a pretty important area down here to the belt. Let's see what's in there. Let's see. Oh, there's a heart in there somewhere, and there's lungs. Yes? And there's a liver. Yes? Well, they need to be protected in warfare. Yeah, but we're talking about spiritual. We're not talking about protecting a literal heart or lungs or liver. Yeah, that's right. But figuratively, a heart means something spiritually, and so do the lungs, and so does the liver. And so we need to understand the important parts of the body and how that applies spiritually. You know, the heart is that part of us, biblically speaking, where it's the presence of God and his goodness, its innermost being. We're talking to Christians. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about sanctification. And the devil, he can take this area, if we're not protected, and cause us to be hypocrites. And you know how that affects you and how that it's damaging to the cause of our blessed Lord Jesus. And so we need to understand the the spiritual truth of having our innermost being protected, the spiritual part, has to do also with one's conscience. And if you're not careful, your conscience can become insensitive. We can get to a place when we look at a video, perhaps we'll laugh at sin. Some of these comedians, that's all they talk about, something that is, it isn't godly, and so we get to learn. We start to laugh at sin. We become insensitive. He said, you better watch it. You need to have the breastplate of righteousness to protect your conscience so you don't become insensitive as a Christian. We talk about the Bible says about one's bowels. Well, what in the world does that mean? How spiritually does our bowels? Well, when something exciting happens to us, you say, I got butterflies in my stomach, or I can feel it in my stomach. Well, that's where the idea of a bowels of people, and literally speaking, had to do with that area that had to do with emotions and passions and so forth. You could, you know, could sense it. Now, spiritually, this matter of the feelings and passions are very real. You say, well, first of all, you're talking physically. You speak about that most part of your body as bowels. Now you're telling me that the bowels also spiritually has involvement with passions and compassion. Yeah, it does. It really does. Philippians 2 speaks about that. It has to do with emotions and worldly pleasures. But this is being protected. You know, if we're going to talk about sanctification, becoming more like Lord Jesus Christ and not fall, you will fall. But and in battle, you'll fall. But if you have this breastplate of righteousness on, you really won't be damaged because it'll protect the vital areas. And we need a spiritual breastplate of righteousness to protect us when backsliding perhaps happens to us. Protect us from being completely wiped out. I don't like to mention things like that, but it's true. If we're not careful and say, well, I don't see there's anything important about having that piece of weaponry, spiritually speaking, I don't even see what's necessary to have the breastplate of righteousness. I have Jesus Christ. I don't need to worry about things like this. Oh, you better. Because sanctification is a matter having to do with, shall you say, it has to do with matters of works. Faith without works is dead. And it's something you got to work at. And you got to fight for. It's a battle. We're in a spiritual warfare. We can find it very easily that we can lose our joy. And now, let's talk about righteousness. Say, well, that sounds real deep. It is. There are three kinds of righteousness that I can find in the Bible, and you probably already know them. Maybe you don't. Well, I know about self-righteousness. Yeah. The Bible speaks a lot about self-righteousness. People say, hey, I don't need to listen to much of that. I'm okay. Hey, I'm doing all right. Been there, done that, been around town for a while. I'm street smart. I don't need to worry about things like to worry about putting on a spiritual breastplate of righteousness. Got to be careful. You think that you just have the answer and you're able to do all these things? I'm amazed at the number of people they are braggadocious. You remember we studied in the Philippians? You want to go to Philippians real quickly? Why? Well, I want to talk about self-righteousness. You say, well, I know all about that. Well, all right. There are times, I think, brethren, that we need to go over things because I think self-righteousness can hit all of us. And you better have the breastplate of righteousness to work this thing over. Now, Paul, in the third chapter of Philippians, if you recall, he's saying, I want to tell you something. You're going to brag on yourself? Let me brag on myself. He said, I want to tell you how it is. And he had rights to brag. And if you notice that he says,
Verse 4 of Philippians 3, he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Huh. Tell me about it. Well, he says, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Hey, that's the elite tribe of all the tribes. And he said, I'm a blue blood Israelite. And he says, the fact of the matter is, I'll just tell you a little further, I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And you want to know about the law? I'm telling you, I'm a Pharisee. And you want to talk about zeal and gumption? He said, I tell you how zealous I was. I persecuted the church. Touching the righteousnesses, which is by the law, or in the law, blameless. Kept the law. Well, Paul, that smells. He said, I know it. But he said, I'll tell you what it smells like. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I have, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, in whom I have suffered and loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Did I say it smells when we get so thinking we really are somebodies? It smells like manure. And verse 9 of Philippians 3, but he said, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. That's talking about self-righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He said, this is what I want. He said, I want to really know him. And he's saying, I really want to know Christ more and more. And he says, and the power of his resurrection power. And he said, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Nor as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press unto the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. I think I begin to understand a little bit, dear Paul, what you're trying to say by the Spirit of God. He says, I hope you will, because this generation, he said, there are those who are Pharisees. Pharisees. No. Yeah. It is in chapter 18 of Luke. Pharisees? Pharisees. Oh, I go to church. I've been there all my years. I've done that. I'm something else. In the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, we have this account. These two men, and you heard this many times, but it's interesting. We're going to talk about self-righteousness. Hey, it doesn't amount to spit. But he says, here it is. He said, verse 9 of Luke 18, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, druggies, alcoholics, sex perverts, and the whole gang. He said, or even as this publican. I put that in there. I wanted to get your attention. He said, I fast twice a week, in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, let's look at him for a moment. What a bum. Standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, what's that going to pay? I tell you, this man went down to his house, what? Justified. Rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. I guess that ought to tell you what self-righteousness is. That's one righteousness the Bible speaks a lot about. And the Bible does go on to say about self-righteousness. It says that all our righteousness is as filthy rags. It talks further about our righteousness. There's none righteous, no, not one. It also tells us other that we've all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't go bragging. Well, you said there's three righteousness in the Bible. Yeah, there are three of them. Perhaps we ought to talk a little more about the other two, for that's what I want to talk about. Imparted righteousness. Oh, there goes a theological word now. Why do I have to learn another theological word? Well, hold on a little bit. I could call it practical righteousness if the word imparted bothers you. And I hope it doesn't bother you. If I get my papers here. Now, you know what imputed righteousness is, don't you? All of you are old enough to know what that's about. That when you have seen yourself as a lost sinner and Christ by his Spirit has given you the gift of faith and saved you by his Holy Spirit by the preaching of the Word of God, and then lo and behold, what he does, he changes us, makes us new creatures, and he gives us Christ's righteousness, his robe, his clothing of righteousness. And when God looks upon us, we're all covered up. Man, I could just stop right there. Do we have to talk anymore? I don't need to worry about anything else, Lord. I'm protected. I have the robe of the Lord Jesus. You see me. You don't see my sins at all. God, you see all those that have been wiped away. In your sight, I am perfect because I have Christ's righteousness. It's imputed. Well, that's a great theme. That is just a marvelous theme. I tell you, friends, we were in Philippians 3 there. Paul said he pressed on. And he said he wanted to learn more. Paul, you're saved. He said, I press on. I keep pressing. What do you want? I have a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. Come on, Paul, you're saved in Christ. He said, I still have a hunger and thirst after righteousness. I want to be more like him. Well, all right. You have his imputed righteousness? Indeed I do, he says. But there is this aspect. And it's the third kind of righteousness, which is imparted. Well, what's that? It's the practical righteousness. Three kinds of righteousness. What is this practical righteousness? Well, you remember that he gives us his Holy Spirit, the Holy Guest. And when we become new creatures in Christ, we have the enabling of the Spirit of God to comfort us and direct us and help us so that we become obedient children of God and that we can grow and nurture and be growing in knowledge and of the Lord Jesus and the grace of God. Yeah. Well, you're going to need that, my boy, because there's a battle out there. The old devil, he wants to populate the hell, and he's going to work you over that you won't believe. You say, oh, come on, can't you tell us that being a Christian is, from now on forever and ever, everything is going to be just wonderful. I'll have all my health taken care of, and I'll have all the finances taken care of. And he does take care of us, but I want to tell you something. There's a fight out there because the devil doesn't want you. You were once his, and he's just going to do what he can and make life miserable for it. And you got to have some righteousness. And this righteousness has to come not from you. It has to come from God. If you have his Spirit, you need the imparted righteousness of the Lord Jesus, our practical righteousness, something that will give you, help you to win this battle. It's the breastplate righteousness. It's the imparted righteousness that you need. Hey, I don't go every morning and get up and say, now, Lord, I'm going to take my imputed righteousness. son, I told you, you're in Christ, and your sins are forgiven. No, it's the one time for all imputed righteousness. What you need, boy, is you need imparted righteousness. There's a battle out there, and sin is out there, and I'm going to enable you to walk through this day. You got to be obedient. I thought there was nothing to it. Huh. You don't know what the Christian walk is all like yet if you think there's nothing to it. We have a responsibility. And so I just want to share with you this. You know, you say, you know, I don't know why I feel so badly. What do you mean? Is it your physical? No. I just don't seem to have liberty. I don't seem to have that joy that I really ought to have. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, listen, there's going to be up days and there's going to be down days. He said, I know that, but for some reason I just don't have the joy anymore. I lost the joy of my salvation. I think I better call a psychiatrist, like the one down at Fort Hood. I'll call him. Maybe he can help me out. No. Very simple, elementary thing. You don't need to call a psychiatrist and go to 6 or 8 course sessions. What we need to do, dear brethren, it is true as much as I have not arrived. We got to get in this book, the belt of truth, and the truth is this book. This is God's very breath. And we get into this thing and start to read it, we'll get our joy back. But if you won't get in this book, and you think psychiatry will do it, and perhaps a seminar, I'll go and spend $200 or $300 to a seminar someplace, or if perhaps I could find a good book and a good book on some kind of counseling would be all I need. You have missed it. David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, Lord. He lost it. What happened, David? Well, I, as a believer, I messed up. He said, you're right, you did. You'll pay for it too. And he said, but I, the thing that bothers me, I have lost the joy of my salvation. And when he got right with God, he went dancing, didn't he? Yes, sir. This takes work. This takes discipline. I'm not talking salvation. I'm talking about our walk as Christians here in this life. And it takes some work. And some diligence. I wish I could say it's an easy road. But I have the robe of Christ's righteousness, and I have the belt, and that has to do with the gird up my loins. And we can be winners if we're serious. And if we're committed, committed, commitment. I'm hearing people talk about, well, we're living together, but he doesn't want to commit, or she doesn't want to commit to marry. There's not any commitment there, but we live together. Yeah. You know, we have the credit of God's righteousness through Christ. Okay, that's fine. That's imputed. And then we have these offenses that can come as Christians. We can screw up. You know that. We have the guilt of Abraham on us, or Adam, I mean. That's still behind us. We have the old nature, that corrupt nature. And don't minimize that corrupt nature. We have also the guilt. These things are removed, we understand, but there is this matter of standing before Christ and to hear this, the judge say in that day, not guilty. Not guilty. Not guilty. Christ. It is through Christ. And so here we are. We can't get out of that, but we can get out in left field as Christians. We need, Bible says, without holiness no man shall see the Lord. Well, now, wait a minute. You talked about imputed righteousness. Yes, But why are you coming into the realm of holiness? Because that's what God wants of us. And he says, without that holiness, you're not going to see me. That's a little troubling. He said, I put it so you'd be a little troubled. So you just don't take it for granted. Are you spending time in prayer? Well, now come on. Are you spending time in the book? Well, that's not necessary for salvation. I'm not talking salvation. I'm talking sanctification. And how do we become more holy? Where he wants us to become more holy, as he's holy. I don't think we're going to arrive there. Hey, we're supposed to work at it because we let down the bars. The devil says, I see that crack. I see where he's screwing up. That's where I'll enter in his life. You got a problem with finances. I'll nail him. You got a problem not of confidence in me, in the Lord. I'll nail him. I see his inconsistency. I see the hypocrite. I'll go in that little crack and I'll make it miserable because, I tell you, he's come to know the Lord and I know where he's going, but I'm going to make it miserable. You got a problem with morals? I'll put it on to him. I'll put it on to her. Well, so that happens. Yes, but it brings reproach upon your God. Don't just think of yourself. Think of the reproach that you bring upon our blessed God and what he's done for us in our Lord. I can't do this before God. You need to have the breastplate of righteousness is what we need. We need to get that armor on. Oh, it's such a heavy thing. I had to put it on in the morning. They didn't sleep with the armor on. And when the bugler blew the trumpet, they get up and they open the curtain, the tent up, and they got to get this on and get this on, get dressed. They didn't sleep with that armor on, I don't believe. Got to put it on every morning. There's an armor called the breastplate of righteousness that we got to put on every morning. Not the imputed righteousness, but the imparted righteousness, or the practical righteousness that the Bible talks about. And we can, I'm not interested in doing that. Bring reproach upon your Savior and your church. The devil wants to bring down God's people. There's a spiritual battle going on. Oh, to be, get our lives in harmony. Harmony. Harmonize our lives, Lord, to have harmony. He says, all right, get this armor on. Get this belt of truth on there. You know, I was thinking of that little booklet we have, Bite-Sized Theology. That's a good little book. We had some back there. I don't know if we have any more or not. But it's good. You say, well, all these theological things, I can't learn all. If you had that bite-sized theology and you were to read that, it's just like a devotional. It's just bite-sized. But it's so good. And to have the truth of God and to know these blessed truths in a bite-sized way that you'd say, I don't know how to explain this. If you would read that, it would help you a lot. I was just thinking today, that booklet probably we ought to have it around here so that we have a belt of truthfulness. And that we can stand and say, this is what God says, and I believe it. It's just not what the preacher's saying or what the confession's saying. This is what I believe. And stand up to the powers that would bring us down and say that we didn't know anything to have this truth. Now, you know what? In 1 Peter, it talks about a citizenship. I get on this from sometimes, and I get convicted about this, and maybe I can bring some conviction on you. Because I think we're just too careless about this. Is in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, not 1 John, although 1 John has some relevance to what I want to say here too. What is it? So we want this, there's a spiritual war, we need the belt of truth, and we need which is very important, holds everything, and we need the breastplate of righteousness, okay? Why? Well, 1 Peter 2 in verse 11 says this to us. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, I'm begging you, I'm down on my knees, brethren. I'm begging you. What are you begging? I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Oh. Having your conversation, your way of life, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the days of visitation. Now, friends, it says, here we are. And the Bible also says that we are citizens of heaven. You say, well, now, come on, preacher. Citizens of heaven. Yeah, we're ambassadors. So what? So what? This world is not your home. The Bible says clearly that you cannot be, you cannot serve God and mammon. We know that. And it says it about the need that, well, maybe I can find it. Better to quote it than try to explain it. It's 2 Timothy. Keep your finger there in 1 Peter if you want to. You don't have to. But if you go to 2 Timothy, I'll show you a verse that has this, that really does, as far as I'm concerned, it gets after us about this matter of our putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, here we are in 2 Timothy. Take a look at verse 2, chapter 2. Let's look at verse 3 and 4. Thou therefore, we're in a battle now, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. All right. And if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean? It says, if we're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, it says, soldiers, what about good soldiers? Well, it says here, really, to be a soldier, you're not to be concerned about your citizen of this land. You've got a job to do. Don't you get involved with politics. Soldiers, don't you get involved with this? The commanding officer said, you're mine. You made a vow, and you're going to keep that vow, and I'm going to teach you. And he says, this is your business. Don't get entangled with the world. But I'm a soldier of Jesus Christ. Same goes for you. Oh, but Lord, we're here. We got to take care of, you know, we have to get involved with politics and fight and all that. And I'm telling you what the scripture says. No man that warreth against himself entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And he's chosen us. A true commitment he wants from us. So I want you to get entangled in this. He said, we need soldiers, we need government, and I don't deny that, but your job is commitment to Jesus Christ for what he's done for you. And there's the imparted righteousness, yet you live to be a holy person. But Lord, how am I going to do that? Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Not, you have imputed breastplate of righteousness, but I'm talking about the imparted. Get at it. Commitment. Woo! Be a citizen of heaven. Quit trying to act like you're a real wonderful person. Sure, you got to provide for your family. I said it again and again, and you got to do your job. But listen, you do that only to pay the bills. Your job is not to be a first class, so to speak, citizen of this world. Be committed to the Lord Jesus. Woo, that's pretty hard to do. You listen to the news, you can't get involved, can't help but get involved. Well, get that belt on. Yes, sir. And that'll help you too. You get that belt on you, so you have the truth of God, that you know it and you walk with the truth. And you get obedient. He says, I'll give you joy. And I'll give you peace. And I'll give you my best. Now, there'll be tough days. You'll have toothaches and you'll have sickness and so forth. But he says, I'll be with you. And he says, I want you to live this holy life. And the way to live a holy life is to have Christ's breastplate of righteousness. He gives us his Holy Spirit. And he says, you get the controlling filling of the Spirit of God, I'll give you the joy. And I'll cause you to be fruitful. So that when you stand before me, before God, they would receive the crowns. The crown of faithfulness. You say, I don't care for that, just so they get to heaven. Hold on a minute. The Bible encourages us to seek the crowns of faithfulness and service so that when we're in glory, there will be some value there than just say, as long as I get in the corner somewhere, I'll be happy. No, no, no. That's not the way to look at it. He wants us to be girded. He's covered us with Christ's righteousness. How glorious. And he said, now, I also want you to take something. There is practical righteousness. The sanctification, it is called imparted righteousness, and you need to work on that. And every morning you put it on. And if you obey me and you listen to me and you're sold out and you're committed to me, and this is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that's my desire, God's righteousness, not my own. He said, if you're tangled with affairs of the world, what kind of a soldier are for Jesus Christ? Brethren, these are this weaponry that's speaking here in the armor of God is tremendous. And it's not just child's play. It's figurative, I know it. It's metaphorical, I know it. But it's having us to understand spiritually what it's all about. And it's not literal putting things on. It's a matter of spiritually putting these pieces of weaponry on. Well, I think I'm going to just tie it up there for the moment.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.